Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Good evening, everyone. This is South Cars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This is the TNT Open Forum for this Friday, December 3rd, 0100 UTC. That's right. This open forum is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules and regulations outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice, and of course as many rules and regulations worldwide as we can follow. And if we are not following regulations, please let us know. We want to know. This SCARS server is supplied by the West Michigan privately owned repeater network, and we thank them greatly for that. Apologies, I think that audio is a little hot there. TNTNet is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur and or other technical subjects. All areas of general interest are welcomed. If you have any ideas, please send them in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com. And, of course, our digital net, which you're listening to right now, voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this evening is Pete, Victor Echo 2, X-Ray, Papa Lima in Montreal, where we presently have a temperature of 5 degrees Celsius, about 39 Fahrenheit, under overcast skies, a pretty high ceiling. Now, the forecast is for snow for the next couple of days, which will be welcome because we've been having liquid snow for the last 3 days. We've had about 40 millimeters of rain in the last 48 hours, which is quite a bit for this time of year. So I prefer the white stuff to the wet stuff, personally. But, hey, that's how it goes. Prior to starting, I'd like to see if there's anyone who has an emergency, if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. Any emergency traffic, please come now. All right, nothing being heard on the long pause, and I've lost my co-host. I had Megan here, who was all ready. She wanted to make sure that I played their introduction, so here it is.
Go. Hi, I'm Isabel.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And we're saying hello
from Montreal.
Megan wanted me to make sure that I played that, since her sister is not back from Guides yet. However, I'm sure that the second she is back from Girl Guide, she'll be storming the studio, and we'll hear from Isabel in no time. So with that, let's get to... Pardon me, I just hooked the mic here. Let's get started with a few of our usual announcements. Of course, as always, NCS and administrative people are needed at South Cars. So anyone who'd like to help, please contact us at voip@southcars.com. Worldwide hospitality people are also required to ask South Cars Ambassadors of Goodwill. Further information, please contact us at the same ad, voip@southcars.com. And information on the outreach program, the extra course has completed its eighth session, and is moving on with 26 registered participants. 26, a record number. Kudos and congratulations to Michael and his team with the outreach program. It's been a huge success so far, and we've had many licensees and upgrades thanks to that program. So anybody who is interested in outreach developments or outreach program, anybody who wants any information or who wants to contact us regarding participation in the project in the future for our future courses, we'll be starting the whole round robin over again, starting with technician class probably in the springtime. We'll have dates to follow, but send us an email. Information is on our website, of course, www.voip.southcars.com. And you can contact us at voip@southcars.com if you'd like information. All right, with that being said, I'd also like to mention that the session is being recorded for podcasts. The podcast will be available on a new website starting January 1st. We're giving a new face to the TNT podcast. We're going to have a new name, a new home, a new website, and a blog, so you guys will be able to participate. It'll be very interactive, so keep tuned for more information regarding that. But we're already starting to record, so here we are, live, TNT Open Forum, home of our new podcast. So you could check out the website and keep tune of the breaking news. We'll be sure to post that as we're prepared to divulge more information. We're keeping that as a surprise. It'll be a good way to start the new year, and we're very excited about that. In other news, let's see what's happening. This is from the ARRL website. Special thank you to Tony, KJ4PUJ, one of our co-hosts, who's not with us tonight. Tony is celebrating his wedding anniversary this evening, so I'd like to say maybe he's listening from afar, so happy wedding anniversary to Tony and to Mrs. Tony. We hope that you guys are treating yourselves. You certainly deserve it. Certainly deserve a night off, and certainly deserve to treat yourselves. I think that's very cool. So with that, Tony was still nice enough to provide us with some news information from the ARRL, and I thank Tony for that. So the first one is the Caribbean Amateur Radio Group, called the CARG, will sponsor its third 10-meter SSB contest this Sunday, December 5th, beginning at 8 a.m. Or 12 o'clock UTC, ending at 22:00 UTC the same day. Band segments will be 28.3 to 28.5 megahertz. Additional information, www.southeastern.arrl.org, and I'm sure you can link to that right from the ARRL's website. Secondly, also from the ARRL, nominations are open for the 2010 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. Yes, they're back, the Humanitarian Awards. The award is conferred upon the amateur or amateurs who demonstrate devotion to human welfare, peace, and international understanding through amateur radio. Isn't that cool? The league establishes the annual prize to recognize amateur radio operators who have used ham radio to provide extraordinary service to others in times of crisis or disaster. The ARRL International Humanitarian Award recognizes amateur radio's unique role in international communication and in the assistance amateurs regularly provide to people in need. Nominations should include a summary of the nominee's actions that qualify the individual or individuals for this award, plus verifying statements from at least two people. Yeah, that's right. You can't just make it up. You have to prove it. These people have to have first-hand knowledge of the events warranting the nominations, and all nominations and supporting materials for the 2010 ARRL International Humanitarian Award must be submitted in writing. Yes, in writing and in English. I like how they specify that. To ARRL International Humanitarian Award, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut. The submissions are due by December 31st, 2010, so not much time left. And last news item, the 2010 hurricane, hold on, the 2010 hurricane season, the 2010 hurricane season ended November 30th, just a couple of days ago, officially ended. Doesn't mean there won't be any more hurricanes, I'm guessing. It was a busy season, but no hurricanes struck the U.S. mainland. We were just lucky. The insidious danger of a quiet season here is the development of complacency. We cannot allow that to happen. The off-season is the time to redouble your efforts on preparedness, both personally and organizationally, at all levels. Train, exercise, and attend the numerous hurricane conferences that occur early next year in your local areas. Look at the trends in the NIMS/ICS training and protocols, emergency management, both at the local and state levels, and adapt your personal and local ARIS planning accordingly. Believe me, it won't seem long before we're all staring down the throat of the 2011 hurricane season. So there you go. Always a good idea to keep prepared. And this is a nice reminder from the ARRL. At this time, let's open up the mics early and see if there's anybody who wants to comment or add anything on what I've said so far. My name's Pete, V2XPL in Montreal. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum and its related podcast. Welcome to our live listeners and welcome to our podcast listeners. We're talking to you guys in the future. The future. All right, let's open up the mic, see if there's any comments before we carry on.
6, Victor, sir.
Welcome, Mr. KY6V. Seems like it's been a long time. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, it seems like we're chatting more in the email fashion than we are voice-to-voice, Pete. Would you ask your audio engineer to be a little more attentive to the VU meter? It seems like you're straying from mic or something. The level on an average is a little lower than I think you want it, over.
Yeah, okay, I'll keep an eye on that. It's a little bit of a new system here, and I'm tweaking it, and it's a little bit more sensitive, and a bit more sensitive than I'd like it. Let's see how that sounds. 1, 2, 3. All right, here we go. The wonders of live radio. Thank you, sir. Is that a little bit better?
Yeah, if you can keep it up where you got it, you've got it. It's all right where it was, but we've got to run our gains pretty well wide open. Over.
All right, sounds good. I'll try to keep an eye on that. Like I said, I'm still. It's not a big shack, and I try to place everything in such a way that I have to get me one of these fancy articulated arms for the microphone, so I can have it right smack dab in the middle of my face when I'm talking, with a nice pop filter on it. And hey, maybe eventually I'll even be able to afford myself a nice compressor. So wouldn't that be nice? Because this mic, I find if I stray a little bit from it, the levels go down really quick. And if I'm too close, well, then you have the popping and the overdriving of the mic. But hey, such is life. I'll keep an eye on that. And my VU meter is way over to my right now. I'm not making excuses. It's just a poor design for the shack, and I'm going to have to rethink it. But anyhow, with that being said, how are you this week, Gordon? Do you have anything on the South Cars front that you'd like to add to what's already been mentioned?
Thank you for asking, Pete. Not really. I can tell you that there's a team assembled putting together an initial plan for Christmas Eve. You and I have had a little bit of conversation on that with emails. You might want to mention that we will not be having the TNT officially on Thursday night, the 23rd, and it will be moving one day later to Friday the 24th, and we'll be covering a Christmas program, ushering Santa in with grace, location reports, and Mrs. Santa and Santa himself, and a number of the elves who will be participating. It's going to be fun. We've done this. This will be the third year in running, as I recall. So come one, come all, Pete, KY6V, over.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Good opportunity to mention that indeed. Thanks for reminding me. I was only going to start doing that a little closer to the event, but it never hurts to start early. I might still show up on the Thursday night and have an unofficial net, maybe a little bit of a rag chew for those who do show up. It's the girls' guide night anyway, so I have some free time. So maybe not everybody will get the message, although we'll try to keep everybody updated as much as we can, of course. December 24th is a big evening indeed, and perhaps, Gordon, if we can convince you to talk to your colonel friend at NORAD, maybe he'll let us use his satellites to track Santa, over.
Well, I'm happy to report, sir, that that has already been accomplished, and it is part of the program. Over.
Well, there you go. Your special invitation, come one, come all, indeed. It was very exciting last year. My girls are looking forward to it again. I told them about it, that they would be another Christmas special, and they remembered last year. So it'll be a lot of fun, and I look forward to it already, and anything that I could do, just let me know. With that, if you have nothing else to add, sir, we'll break with you. Of course, feel free to pop in and give me your 2 cents at any time. You're always welcome. We'll see if there's anybody else who'd like to make a comment or suggestions before we carry on. This is the TNT Open Forum. Welcome to the open mic portion. All right, nothing being heard at this time. Let's get started. Oh, well, before I get started, I'd like to say hello to a very special guest, somebody I haven't seen around in a while. I'm not going to put you on the spot just yet, Craig, but I see you there on the list, WE2Q, who hasn't been around of late, has been busy. But he's with us tonight. Thank you for joining us, Craig. And a little bit later on, you can pop in and say hi. But for now, I'll just let you listen. I know you like to sit back and listen. So with that, tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about is ham radio, is ham radio green? How environmental is ham radio? And little things that we can do in our everyday lives to make our lives a little bit greener. I got this idea a few days ago. I came across an article by Kenneth Eicher. I'm not sure if it's pronounced Eicher, E-I-C-H-E-R, Eicher, I guess, from Landing, New Jersey. And his call sign, Whiskey Alpha 2, Kilo, Kilo, Golf. Oh, and before we continue with this article, here comes Echo Megan. Hello, Megan. How are you? Come on up. Come on up to the mic here and say hello to the nice people.
Okay, but I have to say something to you first.
You have to say something to me first? Okay, what do you have to say?
I didn't have my medicine.
You didn't have your medicine yet? Well,
no.
That's okay. We'll have your medicine after. That's not a big deal. Megan is referring to her... Megan's got some antibiotics. She had developed a little infection on her tummy about 7 or 8 days ago. So the doctor prescribed her some medicine, which is pink but bitter, I'm told.
No, it's not pink. It's white.
Oh, it's white. Apologies. And she has to take it, but she probably forgot tonight. And that's okay. You want to say hello?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Did you have fun at Sparks tonight?
Yes.
Yes, excellent. Megan came back from Sparks, the younger branch of the Girl Guides.
Did you hear that crack? That was my finger.
Oh, she just cracked her finger. So Megan was nice enough to come in and say hello to us. And Megan is looking all grown up and is having a lot of fun with Sparks and her friends. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Yes. All right, let's take a quick pause. Oh, there you go. Well, Megan's going to be staying with us for a few minutes. Mommy's gone to get her sister, so she gets to hang out in the shack. Aren't you lucky, Megan? Yes. So, this is the article I'm reading. It's called Is Ham Radio Green? By Kenneth Eicher. His call sign, WA2KKG, and it goes something like this. Is our hobby of ham radio green? And by green, of course, I mean, is it friendly to the environment? Is it hindering? Is it helping? Or is it pushing us towards global warming? Is it contributing to unwanted greenhouse gases in the environment? Green seems to be a hot topic these days, and whether you agree with the predictions or not, it doesn't hurt to sit back and think. Should we just keep on our merry way? Or should we take a look at how we each of us live our lives and how we're affecting our environment? Obviously, the big culprit in ham radio is electricity usage. Much of our electricity is created from burning fossil fuels. Of course, it depends on where you are, but we're fortunate here in Montreal and in Quebec to have hydroelectric power, which is a little bit cleaner, I guess. It has its pluses and minuses, like many other things. Well, I'm not going to get into an energy debate right now, but a lot of other places, it's fossil fuels. So fossil fuels, of course, give off gases that harm our environment. So, are we doing anything right? Well, yes, amateur radio operators who are involved in planning for emergencies often have drills where they set up stations that they use batteries for power. One such drill is the annual Field Day exercise sponsored by the ARRL that you're all familiar with last weekend in June. Participants receive extra credits for operating their stations during the drill without using power from the grid. Yeah, go ahead. You can write. Megan's going to take notes. Megan's going to do my show notes. Let's see. Many hams shun the big power eating amplifiers, popular with some hams, and operate their stations QRP. QRP simply means I'm transmitting on low power. Of course, you guys know that. Today, QRP operation usually assumes 5 watts or less. I mean, in some circles, 5 watts is considered shouting. It's not considered QRP. Hams that are into QRP operation often use battery power. If you're using your HT, you could claim that you're transmitting QRP. What can't you see? The letters. Well, I'm blocking her letters. Pardon me. Whether batteries or commercial power, at 5 watts, they're using a lot less power. For most QRP operation, it's the thrill of the chase. They compete for certificates for Workdahl States QRP or DX100 QRP, etc. They often compensate for their low power by having very efficient high-gain antennas. So that's a great way to get some gain without by being environmentally friendly, pardon me. All right, other hams operate mostly or totally mobile or portable. When mobile, whether they're operating on HF or VHF or UHF, they're using vehicle battery power. Much of this mobile operation is on a daily commute or on a trip somewhere. I think using them on a trip is the most fun. If we make the assumption that the alternator is going to charge the car battery, whether they're operating or not, the additional fuel used is negligible, and you'd be traveling anyway. So, likewise, portable operation uses a handheld radio, also known as an HT, and is using battery power. Instead of everyone operating at a high power to reach 50 or 100 miles or more, we have shared repeaters that allow us to use minimal power outputs from our HTs, such as 1 or 2 watts. I transmitted 0.1 watts with my HT into our local repeater, which is about 3 or 4 miles away from here, and as the crow flies, and it comes in just fine.
Daddy?
Yes?
So what happened to my tail when he was sleeping, and where I found him when I was in school? He was playing in the house.
Oh, her teddy bear had a sleepover, and it was playing in the house. So she put him in the bed, and overnight he snuck into the house and he started to play. Isn't that right, Megan?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, silly teddy bears, eh? When you're not watching them, they're going to play. All right. So where do we get the electricity to recharge those batteries, you say? Well, many hams love to experiment with solar panels. If any of you guys listening to the Solder Smoke podcast, you'll find out that the host of that show uses solar panels from a Volkswagen, and he charges his gel cell batteries that way. Many hams love to experiment with them. I've seen some hams at Hamfest using miniature solar panels attached to their hats to keep the batteries on the HT at full power. That's pretty fun. Others have gone the larger route and installed solar panels on the roof of their houses to power their equipment, and even the whole house. Yeah, if you could do that, more power to you, no pun intended. Other hams do the same thing using windmills. Today they are commonly called wind turbines. I actually have these plans for making one of those. I'll get to that in a few seconds. At one field day not long ago, one of our members even experimented with a water turbine using a nearby stream to generate enough electric power to keep the battery charged. So in conclusion, he says, if you're a ham radio operator that uses battery power, including solar, wind, or water power to keep them charged, pat yourself on the back. If you're not, here's a challenge. Find some way to go green with your hobby. I encourage anyone with other examples of how ham radio can be greener to come on board and share your ideas or experiences. Now that goes for you guys too here at the TNT Open Forum. If anybody has any ideas, we'll do that. Give me a few seconds. I was telling you about a generator that I'm planning on building. I inherited not too long ago a 12-volt generator and a 12-volt voltage regulator, which I plan on putting on a fan somewhere, probably on top of the shed, and experimenting with that to keep a gel cell battery charged. Yeah. And I got the idea from the boy, what was it called? The boy who harnessed the wind. This is a young man called William Kumkwamba. I mentioned him months ago in another TNT Open Forum. And he's a Malawi boy who at 14 taught himself the basics of electricity. And then with scrap parts that he found just around the village and in the dump, he made a windmill to power part of his village. And so that kind of inspired me to do that. So I think that's a great challenge. Find a way to go green with your hobby. See if anybody wants to come aboard at this point and share some of their experiences with going green, or how they make their efforts to go green with their hobby. My name's Pete. This is B2XPL on the TNT Open Forum. Come on aboard. It's an open mic.
Evening.
Yeah, I didn't get the call, but come on aboard. This is the TNT Open Forum. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Welcome aboard. Do you have a comment or anything to share with us tonight?
The issue of going green, we try in Florida to do that. conserving water and be mindful of manatees down here that thrive in 72-degree water. Even though it's 30 outside, it's 72-degree water for the manatees. Can you ask the Indian?
Very good. Yes, conserving water. That's an important one, especially with the state of the world today and things like the BP incident, disaster incident is undermining the whole thing. The BP disaster of a few months ago and everything else that's happening in our water is indeed, and you mentioned the manatees. My daughter's eyes lit up. That's actually the nickname for one of our two dogs. We call him the manatee, and that's a story within himself. I didn't recognize you there at first, Pete. Welcome. Welcome to the TNT Open Forum. It's a pleasure to have you aboard tonight. Do you have anything else to add?
I'm curious. What made that decision to name him a manatee? That needs to be a subject all of its own. Katie Kowalski, Lake India.
Well, it's from a cartoon that my girls used to watch. My oldest girl, Isabel, used to watch this cartoon when we lived out west. I can't remember what the cartoon was called, but there were some college students in it, and they had a mascot, and their mascot was a manatee. And the guy who was in the mascot suit, of course, was the biggest guy in the whole gang. This big kind of biff guy. And he had this little teeny tiny voice. He almost sounded like a girl. Keep in mind, this is a cartoon, of course. So this guy would go around and he'd wear this manatee costume because the manatee was the mascot of their, can't remember if it was basketball team or football team. So he would run around with this, this big giant guy with this little teeny tiny voice going, "I am the manatee. Nobody messes with the manatee." And my dog that we call the manatee, we kind of figured if ever he could talk, that's how he would sound because, he's kind of this little scrawny thing and he acts all tough. So it's more of an inside thing, I guess. But that's how he got his nickname. And because of that, our whole family has done more research on manatees. And we know more about them now. So because of a cartoon, we got to know a little bit more about one of our great creatures that you guys have the opportunity to be much closer to, I guess. Back to you.
Let me tell you about the manatees. We're having a project in our city to explain the going green bit with conserving water. The premise is as follows. Let me break here. The premise is that we're supposed to conserve water in order for the manatees to expand their population. Reason being that there's a Blue Springs park right next door to Orange City, which are, of course, habitats the manatees. In order to sustain the manatees population, we have to increase the flow of the Blue Springs. Thereby, we have to conserve water so that they can more populate the spring area with more offspring and give them a headquarters to spawn other manatees in their existence. We're trying to increase their numbers because of their delicate way of making them a sustainable species. And thereby we have to conserve water in order for them to have a good flow of spring water so they can inhabitate the Blue Springs. And this is a very interesting study we're doing. And we're trying to be humane to the manatees. Katie Kowalski, Lake India.
No, I agree with you. That's important. And all those efforts not only will benefit the manatee, but benefit the other wildlife, dolphins and seals and other, I'm not sure what other species are indigenous to that area, of course, but I think that's a really interesting point. And I mean, water and air are basically the two basic ingredients that we certainly can't do anything without. I mean, you can go for days without eating, but you can't go for days without eating and drinking. And the same thing with air, you know, and we seem to be doing a good number not only on our water supplies, but on our air quality as well. So, you know, whether you want to thank the Industrial Revolution for that or democracy or whatever, you know, not blaming, not, you don't have to put blame on anything. It's the figure of speech, of course, but it seems to be the way that we're going. And if we don't pay attention to it and if we don't make an effort, then we could find ourselves with irreparable damages. Of course, on a global scale, it's probably not irreparable, but in our lifetimes and in our children's lifetime, you know, Mother Nature will take care of herself. Give her 50 or 100,000 or a couple of 100,000 years, and you know, she'll do away with us and become all nice and pristine again. I mean, in our lifetime, if we want to be leaving something for our children to enjoy, you know, the same things that we got to enjoy, you're right. We have to make those efforts, and it's very important. It's important to pass that on to our younger generation too. So, thanks for that comment, Pete. Yeah, anything else you'd like to add, KD4OVI? Back to you.
Also, notice in the news media, which I just happen to come from, is that there's an element, frighteningly element, that is on this earth, which doesn't require the basic elements to survive or be creative in. It's a weird element. I didn't take note of it completely, or nor did I take studious notes on. But if you wanted to investigate, it probably is on your news media too in Canada. This discovery that they made, scientific discovery on this element, which seems to indicate it's a foreign element that they have never seen or heard of, but yet it is there. Now then, it's not made to be an announcement of the extraterrestrial manner, but they are starting to equate this to the extra portion of what we call ET. But it was quite unique what they come up with. And let me say that if this is true, that there's definitely life in other existence of the galaxy, just by merely noting that situation which they have described on the radio or on the TV. You may want to take note of it, and for scientific notation, Katie, for Oscar India.
Six Victor with a comment.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, Gordon.
Thank you very much, Pete, and good evening to the Pete down there in Orange City. KY6V here. What Pete is starting to talk about, it's a little afield of the subject tonight, but if you look at the national news and that which is being published today, NASA has come out with a report that they have found an additional element for life sustaining properties that they didn't know anything about before, and it's called arsenic. And arsenic is a poison. They have come across some living microbes that are living on arsenic along with the other potassium and oxygen and water and so on and so forth, that has thrown this thing wide open as to what might be taking place in outer space on some of the other planets. So without going into this in any detail, Pete, I would just suggest that it's all over the news tonight. It was on national news for TV. It's being played up very heavily on the internet. A new frontier to take a look at, Pete. KY6B, and back to your subject, sir. Over.
Yeah, very good. No, I hadn't. I've been hiding from the news, I guess, today. I got home from work, ate dinner with the girls, and off to Guides we went, so I didn't have a chance tonight. I usually catch up a little later on, so. But thanks for that. That's very interesting indeed, and I like to keep up with those developments. I'm sure I will have some tweets on that, too. I've been kind of active on Twitter lately as well. A little bit addictive, but that's all good.
Okay, Oscar, that's the end of my report there, Pete, from Central Florida. We have noted and everything else, but keep in mind, the manatee, as everything being fair and equal, has an important factor in sustaining the waterways. They make good. They make good fellows in the water, they say. Keep it, I've noticed that in South Florida. We had a canal there, the Okeechobee Canal. And what happened there is they didn't have the manatees in there, or sea cows, what do you want to call it? Some people like call them sea cows. Manatees. They had a ferocious growth of vegetation in a canal, and their importance in maintaining the canal, they were that's their nutrients. That's what they like to feed on. So if you want a clean canal, mind you, have a lot of manatees in the canal. They will keep them free and clear. Kitty Fawaska, Rick India.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. An interesting subject indeed. It kind of reminds me what you said before. I'll get back to the manatees in a second, but you mentioned and so did Gordon mentioned the new developments with arsenic, which is interesting. It kind of reminds me of the stuff that's going on with, you guys are probably familiar, a lot of ham radios are kind of interested in this coast to coast. You guys probably know Art Bell and George Nuri probably better than I do. They seem to be radio phenomenons in the state. And also a little while back, this gentleman by the name of Ted Randall, who's a radio broadcaster, does the QSO radio show, had a doctor on, and I can't remember the guy's name, I have to look it up, and he claimed that UFOs were real. And Megan's back, of course. I was laughing before, because Megan, who's been spending time with me on the show here this evening, was actually put into bed by her mother before her mother went to pick up her older sister, Isabel, who's here right now. Say hello, Isabel.
Hi.
Louder.
Hi.
There you go. And Megan, unknowns to her mother, got up and was spending time with me. And when Mom got home, went into the bedroom and couldn't find Megan and started to panic and kind of busted into the studio real quick and saw her on the floor. And Megan got into a little bit of trouble. That being said, Megan is next to me as we speak. Say hi, Megan.
Hi.
Louder.
Hi.
And she's going to get in trouble again. Hi. So let me take a short pause and address this. And what do you mean, no? You're not supposed to be in bed?
Mommy said I...
Oh, did she now? Okay, aren't you lucky? So, well, there you go. I have two extra co-hosts here, Isabel and Megan. Isabel is running out the room to confirm what Megan's just said, I'm guessing, judging by the speed at which she just escaped. And with that, let me get back to Pete there, KD4OVI.
KD4OVI, Rick India. Yeah, Pete, the weather conditions down here, I also want to report that we're going to have one city, which is north of here, which is Ocala. That is a very mysterious city. For one reason, it's always the coldest in Central Florida, for some strange reason. I've yet to discover why that city is the coldest. Maybe it's the fourth, maybe it's where it's located, location-wise, but that's a very interesting city in Central Florida. And, mysterious element, that arsenic, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah, that could be interesting entity in itself, and where other worlds could very well be have the same element, and thereby having a characteristic by itself. We'll have to see how that plays out, Pete. 84 Oscar Vic India.
Yeah, QSL. Indeed. Megan Isabel's back into the radio room. I think we've lost Megan this time. So there you go. We're trading co-hosts. Isabel's actually sporting a beautiful Christmas hat. Tell us about your... we'll just take a short break and check with Isabel and see how her guide meeting went.
Good.
Yes, what did you do?
You played board games.
You played board games. What kind?
Oh, I played circus. There was also twisters, snakes and ladders, and a couple other games.
Oh, very good. Well, welcome back. Welcome home. And I hope you had a good time. Good. She says she has a good time. All right. Well, Pete, we'll take a little break with you for a sec, see if anybody else wants to jump in before we continue. This is the TNT Open Forum. My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima, and we're having a chat with Pete in Florida, KD4OVI, and Gordon every once in a while chimes in, KY6V. So anybody else who wants to chime in at this time, we're having interesting talks anywhere from going green with the hobby to arsenic, aliens, and ham radios throwing, and manatees and ham radio in there as well. So come on aboard. No, we haven't said that part. All right, we're back, as they say in radio. Isabel wanted me to mention, she told me to mention the manatee, and she said, you got to tell them about Tyson. And I'm like, yeah, I've already told that story. So she was disappointed, but she wanted to tell you a little bit of extra part to that story that I had not told. So go ahead, Is.
I don't really know it.
Don't really know it? She's going to claim she's too young now, but she nicknamed the dog Nanny, and we still call him that to this day, Nanny. It's not a very manly dog name, because, of course, my dog's not of course, but we happen to have two male dogs. I have two daughters, human daughters, so my two dog sons, my two canine sons are boys. Isabel started to call him Nanny because she couldn't pronounce manatee when she was watching the cartoon, and the manatee came up. She pronounced Manny or Nanny depending on the day, so to this day, yeah, we still call him Nanny, and that was Isabel's nickname. And Tonka, our other dog, was nicknamed Boo Boo Dog, or Boo, after a character in the movie Monsters, Inc. that probably a lot of you are familiar with.
Bubba.
And we also call him Bubba. But his first nickname that Isabel gave him was Boo because of the little girl on Monsters, Inc. So not sure if maybe Tonka looked like the little girl on Monsters, Inc. or not, but that's what he was nicknamed. So anyhow, let's see if anybody else wants to check in before we carry on.
Let me recheck Katie Foster, Rick Kendrick.
That, Roger that. Anytime, Pete, come on aboard.
Heard about Art Bell. I was, when he was on at night time, I was listening to him. He had some real good stories about extraterrestrial beings and people that made contact with him and so on and so on. Also an interesting part of Art Bell, he's also a ham, so, and while he was in Arizona, I think, now I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that he was in Arizona, he also owned an FM station, a commercial station, and he's a real good commentator on that subject. I mean, excellent. Not just real good, but excellent. It's really, if you were to catalog his show, I would have thought he'd be right up there in the top 10. KD4 Oscar Vic India.
Yeah, well, you can certainly do a search on Coast to Coast or either of those names, Art Bell and George Nuri, and so the top hits on Google and other search engines. So, yeah, they're very well established indeed. And I actually listen to the show. It's syndicated, of course, and we get it up here in Montreal on one of the local AM stations. Unfortunately, it's on live at midnight. I'm guessing on the West Coast they start at 9 o'clock, but here it's from midnight till 4 or 5 in the morning. It actually goes on for quite a while. And the odd night that I am up that late, I like to listen to them. It's always interesting. I don't know what I believe in terms of extraterrestrial life and how it exists or if it exists. I believe that the universe is certainly humongous enough that it could hold other life, and it's kind of the naysayers, it's kind of arrogant to think that we're the only people in this great big universe without really knowing what's out there. So it's just the ever curious scientist in me thinking that anything is possible until it's disproven. So yeah, interesting show indeed, and I highly recommend you guys check it out. And you could probably even stream it live on the internet, and maybe they even do podcasts. Actually, yeah, they do. Coast to Coast Live does do podcasts, because one of my buddies subscribes to them, so you guys can listen to them on podcasts as well. Unlike the TNT Open Forum and its related podcast, their podcast is not free. Ours, however, is, and that's a good topic of discussion for another show. Close Encounters of the Third Kind is what we'll call a future show, and I think that we could get some interesting topics of conversation going with that. Just people's experiences, or even just rumors, hearsay, and conjecture is always interesting when you're talking about the unknown. So there you go. Anything else, Pete? We've been having an interesting queue, so we're just all over the place tonight. But I like that. It makes for an interesting rag-chew-type episode. We'll also see if anybody else wants to join us, but I'll throw it back to Pete. KD4OVI, come on back.
This is KD4 Oscar Richard. Yeah, he also brought up that he was a ham. And I think he had a topic on hams and how he started his adventure into it, and that was good to know that he was a ham himself, because he had also contacted other people while he was on the show, and he had some good communication between him and them. So that was a good deal. I never talked to him on the ham radio, but I would have loved to insert it into my list of personalities that I would have talked to on the ham radio. Because he's a really interesting fellow. He has a lot of vast knowledge about the topic that he's presented. So that was good. Just to give a little flavor to what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's interesting that he was a ham radio operator. I didn't know that, actually. That's really interesting. There's quite a few broadcasters. I mean, of course, the classic Walter Cronkite. You guys might remember Gene Shepard, who hosted AM in New York City in the 60s for a long time. And he has a really cool story called The Christmas Story. You guys might have seen the movie. I think it's 1983 movie with Peter Billingsley, a little kid, the famous kid who wants, he's not famous, the little kid who wants a BB gun, and he finally gets to see Santa at Macy's and makes it all the way up and asks Santa for a BB gun, and Santa basically kicks him down and tells him that he'll shoot his eye out. So of course, Isabel's seen that one. For anybody who hasn't seen the movie, of course, I've just ruined it for you, didn't I? But Megan has seen it too. It's a classic story. I remember seeing that when I was a youngin' too, and that one stuck with me. But anyways, Gene Shepard, also a ham radio operator, and very good. Before I get carried away on another rant, of course, let's see if anybody else wants to join in. Anybody want to hop into the conversation? Welcome to the TNT Open Forum for this Friday, December 3rd. Presently 1:56 UTC. All right, nothing being heard at this time. We're looking at about, 3 minutes before the hour. Pretty much covered everything I was going to cover. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that I was going to cover, but I'm going to keep that for the second part of this show, because I think I've touched on something that won't say hit a nerve, but seems to be an interesting topic of conversation, and has actually spun off into other really interesting directions that I hadn't anticipated. So We will revisit the Go Green theme for tonight, but before we close it down, I'm going to see if anybody else wants to chime in. Actually, I'll do a few final announcements before we close it up, too. But anybody else wants to join in tonight, come on aboard. This will be one of your final opportunities.
Hey, Pete, WE2Q.
Well, good evening to you, sir. Before we say hello, Megan would like to say goodnight. Oh, she's just smiling, but she just came to give me a big hug over here, and she's going to bed, and that's your sister pretending to be her. But welcome back, Craig, WE2Q. It's good to hear you. It's been way too long, and you're sounding good. How are you this evening, sir?
Well, more importantly, let me say goodnight to Megan. Megan, sleep well. You have a good night.
She's already run off, Greg. She's already run off, but I'll make sure I pass that along. Back to you.
Oh, very good. I couldn't let the subject go, and I haven't, as you mentioned, I haven't been on for a while. I've been away, so I couldn't let it go without making a comment, but... to me, this is a very green hobby for the most part. Even with the electricity we burn, it's pretty minor. Even with a couple hundred watt output, the rigs are only burning the equivalent of a few light bulbs. So it's really quite green, I think, in a lot of ways. And we're pushing more and more to that every day in this hobby.
Yeah, actually, that's an interesting comment. And the rigs today, the solid-state rigs, are certainly much, much more efficient than our beloved boat anchors, although I still run a couple here, and I love them, even though they don't consume a whole lot compared to some other things. But that brings up an interesting point. I'll give you just one sec here. That brings up an interesting point of, especially in simplex operation, we are using a lot less electricity communicating simplex than we would be using telephones. And you might argue with that, you know, the telephone on its own isn't really consuming a whole lot. But when you consider the whole infrastructure behind why your telephone works, or your cell phone, or Skype for that matter, you know, everybody, well, Skype is great, it's free, but the whole infrastructure behind it makes it that it's probably not as green as simplex operation, or even very efficient repeater systems. Our club repeater, which covers probably about 7 or 8 kilometers diameter, only puts